The reading today is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Encouragement to be faithful. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we listen for your voice, as we listen to your word, speak to us. We pray for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall on each of our lives. As we hear your word proclaimed, may your truth shine forth. May you change each of us from one degree of glory to the next, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength, the hope, and the redemption of all who place faith in you. Amen. I want to start today with a question. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And I have to admit, there are many, many good, true ways to answer this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And with apologies to our tech and AV team, because I just decided to do this, I'm going to grab the lapel mic real quick. What does it mean to be a Christian? What do we think? What?
Love.
To love? Yeah, absolutely. What else? What does it mean to be a Christian?
Trust in Christ.
Trust in Christ. Ooh, good answer.
Jesus in our lives.
To have Jesus in our lives. Yeah? Anybody else? What does it mean? To believe in God, right? Okay, I'm hearing a lot of really good answers. What does it mean to be a Christian? What else? A follower of Christ. Ah, okay. Those are all very good answers. And if we were over in Sunday school at the church center, I would give all those answers top marks. Top marks. And I have an answer of my own, and it touches on so many of the things that we said here today. But when I was thinking about this question the other day, what does it mean to be a Christian? I came up with, a Christian follows and worships Jesus and is not ashamed of the gospel. That's what I came up with. Now, everything else that was said today is spot on. Great. But a Christian follows and worships Jesus and is not ashamed of the gospel. Okay? And now for another question, and this one's just a show of hands. Right? You're really going to love this question, I promise. Who here has ever felt shame? Raise your hands if you've ever felt shame before. Who here has ever been ashamed of someone else or of yourself? Yeah? Right. I'm not going to ask for specifics, don't worry. Right? I'm willing to say that at one point or another, every single one of us has experienced shame, either at ourselves, at someone else, or perhaps shame at some sort of situation in the world around us. Right? Going back to the lapel mic, Daniel.
When we read through the pages of Scripture, especially...
Apologies. Thank you. We read through the pages of Scripture, especially the book of Genesis, we see that shame was not originally part of God's creation. Everything that God made was what in Genesis? Good, right? I like how Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, the message, the paraphrase of the Bible, how he puts Genesis 1:31, where he says, God looked over everything he had made, and it was so good, so very good. In Genesis 2, after the creation of men and women, Adam and Eve, the text tells us, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. They become one flesh, right? And then the text says, and the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not what? Ashamed. Right? They were not ashamed. Creation was good. They were not ashamed. So far, so good, right? So where did shame come from? How did shame and being ashamed become part of our human experience, according to Scripture? We can turn again to Genesis for an answer. Specifically to chapter 3 of Genesis and the account of the fall, or as you folks call it, autumn. That was a bad joke, and I fully blame the jet lag for that one. We look at the account of the fall, and we know this account pretty well, don't we? I see some of you enjoyed that joke, by the way. I know who you are. But in the account of the fall, the serpent approaches the man and the woman and challenges God's stern warning against eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And the man and the woman, they succumb to temptation and bam, absolute catastrophe. In the event of the fall, creation is thrown into complete chaos. Rather than being in full, complete, and good relationship with God, Genesis 3 tells us, that after they ate of it, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, they hid themselves. They hid themselves. What a tragic statement. From the Lord among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And the man said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So in this text, we see the immediate consequence of sin and rebelling against God is the experience of shame, right? The man said, "I was afraid. I realized I was naked, and so I hid myself." That's shame. And this text, I think, teaches us a powerful truth about human nature as a whole, that to some degree, every single one of us is locked in a battle with shame. So many of our behaviors and our values are based on a desire to avoid shame. Shush, you. My watch talks to me. In our world, many cultures are built on this urge to avoid shame, right? Some cultures refer to this as saving face. Yeah? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And we might want to believe otherwise, but Christians, we are not exempt or immune from this battle with shame. If anything, we might wrestle with it even more. Right? So this brings us to the primary text that Joyce read for us today, to 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14. Now, it's widely believed that this particular letter was written near the end of Paul's ministry. And it could even be possibly the last epistle, the last letter that Paul actually wrote. So, and in these short 14 verses that Joyce read for us, we remember what topic, what, guess what topic comes up twice? That's right, it's not a trick question. The topic that comes up is shame, right? We look at the entirety of 2 Timothy, and we'll see that Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, a younger pastor who Paul calls my dear son. And the content of this letter, especially these opening verses, suggests that Timothy's ministry was anything but sunshine and daisies. If anything, Timothy was going through a rough patch, to put it mildly, in his own ministry. And the grinding pressures and heavy weights of ministry were really wearing on Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter to encourage his younger friend to continue in the way of Jesus Christ. And if I could summarize this passage in one phrase, it would be, "Do not be ashamed," Paul tells Timothy. Throughout this passage, Paul is encouraging Timothy not to be ashamed of Jesus or of our life and service to him. Now, it might seem obvious that we should never be ashamed of Jesus, right? But we are under constant pressure to live as if he is not at the center of our lives. We are pressured to live as if Jesus is something less than the most important, the most central, the most foundational, fundamental part of our lives. Throughout every day and every week, we face constant pressure, constant temptation to live by different creeds, especially those that flatly contradict the gospel. We hear things like, "Look out for number one." We've heard that before, yeah? "I deserve to be happy." We hear that a lot, right? "That's not my problem." We hear that a lot too, don't we? Yeah. We notice how all of these false creeds are so incredibly self-centered. Yeah. Now, hardly any of us will ever be in the position of someone like the Apostle Peter, who openly and blatantly denied Jesus and was ashamed of Jesus three times after the Lord was arrested, right? For most of us, the pressure to be ashamed of Jesus, to make him something less than the Lord and center and foundation of our lives, this pressure will be far more subtle, like a gentle lapping of a wave
that over time, ever so gradually erodes our faith. Now, in my view, the only way to resist this subtle pressure to be ashamed of Jesus, to deny his lordship, is to overtly hold fast to Jesus Christ. Hold fast to Jesus Christ in our lives. We hold fast to the message of his cross, for that was and is the means of our salvation. We hold fast to our Lord's plan, even when it brings discord and division and difficulty in relationships. We hold fast to his plan, for only God's plan can bring about true healing and salvation. We hold fast to Christ's people, each other. For even when Christians are strange or difficult, or they just flat out drive you bonkers, because the Holy Spirit makes the church Jesus' witness and loving megaphone to the world, we hold fast as well to fellow believers. We hold fast to his cross. We hold fast to his plan. We hold fast to his people. We need all of these things. We hold fast to Jesus in every way that we can. Only Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit can keep us grounded in the daily life of faith. This makes me think of one of my favorite hymns. And I'll confess I have a lot of favorite hymns, but this one's one of my favorite hymns. It's okay to have favorites within favorites, right? And this is made especially popular by the Boys Brigade. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Let's carry on. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Friends, brothers and sisters, Jesus is our one true anchor and our one true hope. Nothing else in life can keep us grounded as God's people. Nothing else. And in just a few moments, we're going to share this sacrament of communion together. It's a sacred meal. In the early church, the earliest Christians, our earliest brothers and sisters in the Lord, they called this a love feast. A love feast. I quite like that. This table and these elements are tangible reminders that we are all new creations in Jesus Christ. And taking of communion together reminds us that our shame, our sin, our brokenness, our mistakes, they have all been removed from us by God as far as the east is from the west. And having just traveled halfway around the world, I can affirm that's a long, long way. So as we prepare to share in this sacrament together, may the Holy Spirit help all of us to never be ashamed of Jesus, to hold fast to him, to hold fast to his cross, to hold fast to his plan, to hold fast to his people, and to the unfailing promises of the gospel. Let us never be ashamed of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.